Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Come on, you guys, we can do better than that. If you serve a God who raised his son from the dead just for you, I want you to give God the greatest praise that you can give him right here, right now. Don't wait until tomorrow. I want you to give him the greatest praise right here, right now. Come on, you guys, let's praise God in this place for resurrecting our risen King, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, you guys. Hallelujah. We can do better than that. Hallelujah. You have life. Hallelujah. You have life more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We serve a great, great God.
Yeah.
We serve a great, great God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, I'm going to say that again. We serve a great, great God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Come on.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Sing this to God. Don't sing this to
nobody
me.
Greater.
Sing this to God.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater.
Nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
One more time, nobody greater.
Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Come on, let's give God one final praise. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give God one final praise before the message comes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what I want to hear? Smile, smile, smile. That song just in my spirit. This song just in my spirit. I know I keep calling you out, but that song just in my spirit. Hallelujah. Let's sing that. I'm gonna try to sing it. I'm gonna stay in my come up song. Stay in my lane. I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna let you come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this song is just in my spirit. Hallelujah. Smile. And I just want us to just hear that song and just sing that song, not to a neighbor, not to yourself. I want you to sing that song to God. I want you to sing that song to God because he has blessed us with a risen King. And that it leaves you speechless when you understand the love that Christ has for you, the love that God has for you. It leaves you speechless. So we're just gonna listen to just a little small stanza of this. I know I sprung this on you all, but we're just gonna sing a little small stanza of this. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes right where you are. I know it's already dark in here, so you can't even see your neighbor. I did that on purpose because I didn't want you to worry about who's to the left of you, who's to the right of you, who's in front of you, who's behind you. I wanted it to just be you and God. You and God. You don't got to worry about nobody else around you.
Joy in
joy in it. Make it your dwelling place. I want to put a smile on your face. I present my heart to you. I present my life to you.
Here's my worship.
Here's my worship.
We're here to make God smile. Look from God and pray. God, we love you. We thank you. God, we just want to make you smile. We want to make you smile with our heart. We want to make you smile with our life. We want to make you smile with our actions and our decisions. We're not just singing this just because to sing it, but we want to make you smile because of decisions that we make to advance the kingdom of God. So God, we thank you, Lord God, that as this message goes forth, Lord God, to your people who are watching, to your people who are here, that it will fall on good ground and that it will cause transformation in their life. I pray, Lord God, that this message, Lord God, will prick their heart, Lord God, like never before. We thank you for our risen King Christ. We thank you for sending yourself to die for our sins. And we thank you, Lord God, for what the cross represents after the cross, Lord God, after the death. So God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We ask, God, that you make us, that you show us how to make you smile, Lord God. Show us how to make you smile. Show us how to make you smile in our decisions, how we talk to people, how we treat people, how we respect people, how we honor people, how we love people, how we bless people, Lord God. So, God, we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the people shouted, amen. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Place this morning, and I hope you can receive what is in this atmosphere. I can't even get to the word yet because it's just a sweet spirit in this place. And don't leave this place without receiving what God has for you. Don't leave without receiving what God has for you. Hallelujah. It's a sweet spirit in this place. Sweet spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Now we thank you. We thank you for your sweet spirit in this place.
You. So here's my worship. Hallelujah.
Here's my worship. Take joy in it.
Yes, God.
Make it your dwelling place.
Oh, yeah.
I want to put a smile on your face. High priest in my
yes, God.
Night to you.
Talking yesterday, and we were just talking about how good God has been to us, and God has been good to us. For you to be sitting here in these seats on this Sunday, a year ago today, we were filming service. I don't know if y'all remember that, but we were filming service, and God has kept each and every one of you to this day. And he's been so good to you. He's been so good to you. He's been just better. He's been so good to you that you cannot even explain it. See, you're able to, everybody wave your hands at me. Everybody wave your hands at me. I can barely see you because I got my glasses off. But everybody wave your hands at me. See, you have the ability to do that. You have the ability to see. You have the ability to hear. You have the ability to feel. And guess what? Your immune system is strong. I just sense that right now, that your immune system is strong. That whatever is trying to attack your body, your immune system is strong enough to fight it off. And so God has been good to us. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. I always used to hear my dad say that. You know, God's been better to me than I've been to myself. And he has. I just now get the understanding of that, because he's been so good to us. He's kept us through COVID. He's keeping us through COVID, and he's going to continue to keep us through COVID. That's just how good God is. And aren't you glad we serve a great, great God? See, your life should be a testament of the goodness of God, because it is a testament of the goodness of God, because you have breath in your body. You have movement in your limbs. You can move. You can breathe. You can have your being in Christ. He's been good to you. And I don't want you to take that for granted. I don't know who that's for, but I don't want you to take that for granted. I know we live life and we think, well, I got this life. You only live once, YOLO. We got this life and it's my life and I'm going to do whatever I want to do in my life. But don't take life for granted. Don't take life for granted, because God sent his son to give you life. He sent his son to give you life. Wow, didn't I praise him do a phenomenal job this morning? Come on, let's give God some praise for our praise team and our guest artist, Brother Chris, all the way from the big Birmingham, Alabama. Love you, dude. Awesome, man. They did a phenomenal job. I still got time on the timer. Let me put my glasses back on. I was crying. I need to wipe them off. They're a little bit dirty. But our life should be a Our life is a testament, and not should be. Our life is a testament to the goodness of God, to the goodness of God. Well, I want to say happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. I know we say Easter, happy Easter, and we talk about going to get some eggs. How many of y'all want some eggs later? I don't want any eggs because they get bad gas. They get real bad gas, and I want to pass on the eggs. But I want to say happy Resurrection Sunday to you all. We serve a risen King. We serve a risen King. He's not on the cross anymore, but we serve a risen King. Hallelujah. If you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 10 this morning. John chapter 10, verse 10. And we're going to talk about the resurrection from a different aspect, from a different lens this morning. They still singing. Should have had y'all sing that too. Had y'all sing that too. John chapter 10, verse 10. And we're going to read it from three different versions. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to read it from the New King James Version, the Amplified Classic Version, and the Passion Translation. Y'all tired yet? Y'all bored yet? No? Awesome. So everybody at John chapter 10, verse 10, if you're not there, say, wait on me. I'm not going to wait on you. I know y'all probably got my drift by now these last few Sundays. I'm not going to wait on you because it's on the screen. It's on the screen. So John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Everybody say more abundantly. Let's read this from the Amplified Classic Version. It says this. It says, a thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Everybody say overflows. Let's read it from the Passion Translation. It says this. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in this fullness until you overflow. Everybody say overflow. I want to use for a topic this morning, I just want to live. Tell your neighbor, I just want to live. I know that's some bad English there. I know we got some English majors in the house. Wanna, Pastor Jay, saying W-A, is that even a word? Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wanna, tana. I'm just making up words up here. But wanna, that's a made up word, right? Right? So I just want to live. I just want to live. See, the Greek word for life in this scripture in John chapter 10, verse 10 that we have just read three times. The Greek word for life here is the word zoe. Everybody say zoe. Zoe. What does zoe mean, Pastor Jay? Zoe means this. Zoe means life physically and spiritually. It means life physically and spiritually. And so we have to understand that life is the gift of God. Life is the gift of God. See, if we trace all the way back to the beginning when Adam was brought onto the scene, we will see that life was a gift from God. See, when God placed Adam in Eden, Eden was not necessarily a place. It was more of a culture, right? Eden was more of a culture. So everything that Adam ever needed was in that culture of Eden. It was in that culture of Eden, all the animals, all the wisdom to name the animals, even Eve. They had everything they needed in that culture. And so we lost that with Adam, but we gained it with Christ. We gained it with Christ. So God has given us the ability to live a full life physically and spiritually. See, we always talk about living life, but we always talk about living life from one aspect spiritually, which is good, but we need to talk about living life full physically as well because God has given us a physical body. And so we know about death, but do we know life? We know about the death of Christ. See, that's Jesus calling right now. He said, y'all, I'm not dead. I ain't on that cross. I just want to live. Yes, in the same God. He the same God. So most people listen to this. Most people believe that when they get saved, that life becomes boring. How many of you ever had that thought? Like, man, when I get saved, I'm gonna have to wear them long skirts that cover to my ankles. I'm gonna have to wear a 3-piece suit every day. I'm gonna have to do this. I'm gonna have to do this. I'm gonna have to make sure that I do church right. See, that's what most people believe. That's what religion wants to teach you. Religion wants to teach you that once you get saved, that your life is over. But guess what? I come to tell you that once you get saved, your life is just beginning. Because this perception often keeps us from Christ. It often keeps people from Christ. I hear it every day. Man, when I get saved, man, they do some weird stuff in church. They do some crazy stuff. What they be doing? I be so confused. Like, what are they doing? So we have to understand that the perception that the enemy wants to block your mind with is once you get saved, then your life is over. But once you get saved, your life is just beginning, because God wants you to live a life full of joy, peace, health, happiness, and freedoms. And so the question becomes this: why not connect with the creator of life to truly live life? See, we think we have it figured out, right? We think we have it figured out. We think that since, okay, well, if I do this, this, this by this date, and if I do this, this, this by this date, then I'll be good, and I'll be set for life, and I'll have my career, and I'll have everything going how it's supposed to go. But God may have a different plan for you. And so the question is, will you receive that, or will you say, God, co-sign on my life? See, a lot of us ask God to co-sign on our life, and we're wondering why we're not really succeeding in life, because we're asking God to co-sign on our life. And so God wants to give you life abundantly. Say this with me. God wants to give me life abundantly, not just spiritually, but physically as well. So I want my creative team to put this word on the screen for me. And it's the word. What do you see when you see this word? Live, right? Live, right? Live, live, right? And so right now we're on Facebook Live, right? We're on Facebook and YouTube Live. Hey, everybody out there, Facebook, YouTube Live. But this word can say live. What else can this word say? Okay, y'all good. Y'all going way too far. What else can this word say? This word can say alive, right? So it can say live, it can say alive, right? Or it can say this. It can say evil. It say evil. See, a lot of us are living backwards because we're living an evil life. See, a lot of you are living backwards. See, God doesn't want us to live backwards. He wants us to live forward. He wants us to live forward, because when we live forward, then we move from evil to living. See, God wants you to be alive. See, we have to remember there are three attributes of God. Say, there are three attributes of God. And I've taught you this before. Number one is this: God is light. He illuminates our awareness. God is light. He illuminates our awareness. Let's read this in John chapter 8, verse 12, because I don't want you to be like, Pastor Jay, just up there making stuff up. It says this. It says, then Jesus said, I am light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. I know you probably right now like, we sitting in darkness? We only see you. And you're right. I only see me too, because I'm trying to see y'all, but I see masks. I can't see eyes. I see some outlines of some bodies, but I know y'all out there. Y'all out there, right? I'm not just dreaming about this, right? Right? And so God is light. We have to understand that he wants to illuminate your awareness. See, a lot of times God cannot illuminate our awareness because we are aware of the wrong things. We are aware of negativity. We are aware of what's going on in the world. We are aware of the wrong things. And so when you are aware of the wrong things, then that takes your awareness away from God. So God is light. He wants to illuminate your awareness. God is also this. God is love. He illustrates it by sending his son. And this is what resurrection is all about. It's all about us understanding the reason why he sent his son. He sent his son because he loves us. And this is what the scripture says in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." So have y'all noticed the pattern here, right? Have y'all noticed the pattern that God is light and he wants to give you light-giving life? God is love. He wants to give you everlasting life. See, a lot of people are, and I think religion has taught us, and I used to be of the same mind, that we are just living here to just get to heaven. See, when we focus on just living here just to get to heaven, we miss out on advancing the kingdom of God right here, right now. See, God does not just want us to just wait until we get to heaven, because guess what? Heaven is not your home. I hate to bust your bubble, but heaven is not your home, because the scripture says that in the end that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, right? And so heaven is not our home. Heaven is our original nature. That's where we come from. But heaven is not our home, because in the end, we're going to be a part of the new earth. We're going to be a part of the new heaven. And so we have to understand that we're not just living here just to get to heaven. See, when you have that mindset, then you forget about loving your neighbor. You forget about speaking life. You forget about really advancing the kingdom of God, because you have this mindset of, I'm just living here until God call me home, till God call me to heaven, and that's it. Yes, yes, we want you to be saved so that you can go back to your original nature in Christ in heaven. We want that. But we also want to impact people here while we're on the earth. See, God did not just put you on the earth for no reason. He just didn't put you on the earth just to be here for a momentary time for no reason. He put you on earth to have impact. See, there's people connected to you that you are supposed to impact. See, the experiences that you're going through, the trials and tribulations that you experience, that's not just for you. It's for you to have impact. So God is light, God is love, and lastly, God is this. God is life. He involves us by giving us life. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Y'all bored yet? Okay. I always wanted to ask that and see if somebody say, yeah. Like, you really bored? Like, did you come to the right place? Now, some people may be thinking, man, I'm bored. I'm ready for Pastor Jay to end this so I can get to my Easter egg hunt and I can get to my food or my fish and my barbecue and I can get to home and take off my church clothes and kick up my feet. Just making sure y'all paying attention out there. Making sure y'all paying attention. That's all. That's it. That's it. You can kick off your feet and relax your shoes. Just making sure you're paying attention out there. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this. It says, Jesus explained, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too." And so listen to this. In order for us to experience abundant life, we must link up with life. We must link up with life. See, your sins had to be connected to the cross through Jesus so that you could fully experience the life that God has for you. And so the reason that you see a cross that is empty is because it's to remind you that in order for you to live the abundant life, then you have to be connected to the one who gives life. And so listen to this. All objects are dead without being connected to something, right? All objects are dead, right? And so, look, I have this light in my hand, right? I have this light in my hand. Is this light on? No, right? So this light is not on. So what does that mean? That means that this is not operating in its full potential. See, a lot of us are not operating in our full potential because we're trying to do life on our own. We're trying to do life without God. We're trying to do life without Christ. We're trying to do life without Holy Spirit. And they're all three in one. See, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he illuminates your life in order for you to really understand what the Word of God is saying. So you can't understand the Word of God on your human intellect. See, a lot of us think that since we got degrees, myself included, that I can understand the word on my own human intellect. I can understand the word because I can read. They told me how to read in kindergarten, so I can read. But Holy Spirit is needed in your life so it can illuminate the word. Because when it illuminates the word, it illuminates your life. And so God wants your life to be illuminated. So this object is not operating in its full potential because it's not connected to the potential giver. See, your potential and your purpose will always go unrealized until you connect with the one who has given you purpose. See, if you're going through life right now, there's somebody in this room that's going through life like, God, what is my purpose? Like, why did you create me? Like, why did you create me with these quirks? And I used to always be like, God, why did you create me with these quirks? And God was like, I created you like that for a reason. And when you understand that God created you like that for a reason, then he will use your quirks to bless other people. See, a lot of times we're too, and I've been there myself. Like, I was like, God, why'd you bless me with this, just this creative mind that got millions of ideas that my wife says I have, right? I can't wait till L3 born. He going to have so many ideas, y'all. He going to have so many ideas. Yeah, well, can we do this? Can we do that? Hey, the sky's the limit. Nope, it's not the limit. The galaxy is the limit. Nope, that's not the limit. The Milky Way is the limit. What goes beyond the Milky Way? There is no limit, right? Infinity, to infinity and beyond, right? To infinity and, but I'm pretty sure he's going to have so many ideas. We're looking forward to seeing him. And we're about three, we got about 3 weeks now. Wow. Two. Prophetess Bell, Prophetess Lady Bell, Lady Abel has said 2 weeks. We need him to come in 3 weeks, y'all, so we can get this full time off with the state, right? So pray for that. Pray that he come on the 29th and not the 14th, right? But back to this. So when this is not connected, it has no power. See, when you're not connected to Christ, you have no power. And when you come to church and you have no power and you leave out and you have no power, then you can't affect life how God created you to affect life. But listen, when you are connected to Christ, you get to experience the super abundance he has for you. See, God has a super abundance for you, but you have to see, everybody wants to live in abundance. We want abundant. See, when I say abundance to you, what do you think of? You think of money? Do you think of clothes? You think of cars? Do you think of status? You think of debt-free, financial freedom? You think of that, right? But God can bless you in other ways other than with money. Because you can have $1 billion in the bank and still be miserable. Do you want to be miserable with $1 billion in the bank? No, you do not. You want that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so for you to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to be connected to the Creator. And so as you all know, when this is connected, right, it now has power to see. See, when you're connected to Christ, don't look directly in the light, y'all. Don't look directly in the light. Everybody like, somebody will be like, Pastor Jay blinded me in the church today at Resurrection Sunday. Don't look directly in the light. Don't look directly in the light. But look directly in the light of Christ, because that's where your life is hidden. See, God wants us to be connected to Christ because that's where our life is hidden. That's where our life is hidden. So this leads me to my next key point, which is this. Whoever you are in will determine if you will win. Whoever you are in will determine if you will win. So when this light is in this power source, it is able to win. It is able to magnify. It's able to see, it's able to operate in its full potential, because whoever you are in will determine if you will win. So scripture says, in him we live, move, and have what? Our being, right? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says this, it says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. See, God wants you to be new. He wants you to be fresh, because when you are fresh, right? See, we like fresh fruit, right? We like fresh bread. Y'all like fresh bread, right? Who likes stale bread? Nobody in this room. Only for bread pudding. I don't really eat bread pudding, though, so. But we like fresh things, right? We like fresh, brand new things, right? And so God wants you to be that way. See, a lot of our strategy in reaching the lost is stale. We have a stale mindset. We say, well, I'm going to beat you over the head with this Bible, and if you don't get it like this, then you are wrong. That's the wrong approach. That's not an approach of love. That's not an approach of grace, because you were once in a bad spot, because the scripture says that even in our sins, God sent his son for us. He loved you just when you were just in your sins. And so if God loved you when you were in your sins, why not love your neighbor when they're in their sins? See, we often say, well, you did this wrong, and you did that wrong, and you did this wrong, and you had this out of this, and you had this out of that, and I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to hold it against you. And you got to follow my rules. If you don't follow my rules, then I'm going to send you to my hell. See, a lot of us do that. See, God has not given us the power to do that. God has given us the ministry of reconciling people back to him. Not reconciling people to us. He has given us the ministry to reconcile people to him. And so our prayer should be that Christ lives through us so that we can show the world what Christ is really like. See, the world is groaning, is wondering, like, I see it every day, what is Christ really like? What is Christ like this, or is Christ like that, or is Christ like this? No, I believe what has happened is this. We live in a Western society, so we westernized the Bible, we westernized church, and so now it's this specific type of church that you have to be this, you have to wear these type of church clothes, you got to say these type of church colloquialisms, you got to speak this Christianese, this Christianese, and if you don't, then you're not Christian. Are we really representing Christ, or are we representing a figment of who we think Christ is? Because Christ came full of grace, he came full of truth, and he showed love to everyone that was connected in his area. Everyone that was in his scope of view, he showed love to them. He gave grace to them because he helped them understand the truth. See, we have to help people understand the truth, because when we help people understand the truth, then they will be free from their perception of what they think it actually is. And see, a lot of times it's hard for us to give the truth because we don't know the truth. We're not set free from the truth. And so it's hard for us to teach truth. It's hard for us to give truth, because once you give truth and teach truth the way Christ did, then we will see lives change. We want to see lives change. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Man, y'all, you moving fast back there, Big Dave. Moving fast. Doing really good. So it says this. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. So when you dispense something, when you go to a dispensary or when you go to a snack machine, you put the money in, right? And it dispenses something out, right? Dispenses something out, right? And so the scripture says, it says, the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. And so we have to understand that our life is hidden in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. The life that you think you have planned out, God has a better plan for you. He has such greater plan for you. And once you surrender to that plan, once you become open to that plan, then you will see life like never before. And so I want to give you these last 2 points, and I want to give you 3 ways to live. And what's our sermon series for today? It's no sermon series, right? But we're going to start one next week based off of this right here. And so the reason Christ had to be planted in death is so we could reach our fullest potential in life. See, the reason that Christ died on the cross is so that we could reach our full potential in life. And the scripture says that we shall do greater things, right? And so God has given us the power to do greater things. And so in order for you to live, you have to be connected to Christ. You have to be connected to Christ. So the question becomes, how do I live? That becomes the question. How do I live? How do I live life? How do I experience life? How do I live? Number one is this. We must think life. You must think life. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Three ways to live. Now, you want to write this down if you're taking notes. Take a picture of the screen. But 3 ways to live, and we're going to talk about how to live. We're going to talk about how to live. Number one is think life. We have to think life. You have to think life. So this is what it says. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts in with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. So number one way to live, we must think life. Because out of your thoughts comes this. Out of your thoughts becomes you speaking life. Because if your thoughts are wrong, guess what? Your life going to be wrong as well. Excuse me. And so speak life. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. So we must think life. We must speak life. And this is what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, your words are so powerful, they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. So there's power. So some versions say there's power in the tongue, right? Right? So your words are that powerful. So if you're not speaking life, what are you speaking? You're speaking death. If you're saying something, if I'm speaking negatively about you, I'm not speaking life into your life. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, because he understood the power in words. See, you have to understand the power in words. But most times what happens is we don't understand the power in words, and we let our emotions take over. And when we let our emotions take over, then we say anything we want to say. We just spew out death. We just spew out negativity. And God does not want us to spew out death and negativity. He wants us to speak life. And so 3 ways to live. We must think life. We must speak life. And out of your thinking and speaking will become you being life. We must be life. We must be life. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm almost finished. I got about 2 more hours. Everybody's like, really, Pastor Jay? Really going to ask us that? You going to really ask me if I got 2 more hours? I'm trying to get to these eggs. I'm trying to get to that Easter egg, huh? Okay, just checking. Look, let me clear this up. I don't want you all to think I'm against that, because I'm not. Have fun. Do what you do. But make sure you honor Christ in everything that you do. That's all I ask. Honor Christ with your life. Honor Christ with your decisions. Honor Christ with your heart. I'm not going to be like, well, you had that Easter egg hunt over there, and Theodore, and you had that. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. We want to make sure that we remember that Christ has risen, and he's risen for you. That's the whole purpose of this Resurrection Sunday. It's the whole purpose of it. And so this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this. Now, if anyone, and I read it earlier, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, if anyone is in Christ, enfolded. I know that's a different word, but the Passion Translation likes to open up words a little bit different. Scripture says, now, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Well, I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. It says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Everything is fresh and new. I want to offer the invitation for you to live a fresh and new life. If you are here this morning and you desire to be saved, you desire to know Christ for yourself, I want you to live that type of life, that type of life that really turns the world upside down. The type of life that really makes the right decisions in